Be seated. The title of our lesson tonight, and it'll be a quick one. I'm looking at the time there. It's almost a quarter till. Contentions and Christians. And so you have your introduction there. In our last lesson, we learned about the wise and those that are otherwise. I wish I could tell you I thought of that myself, but I read it today in a wonderful title on a lesson there, The Wise and the Otherwise. Of course, we looked at three things there. We looked at the heart of wisdom. We learned that not all wisdom is the same. Not all wisdom has the same source. And then we looked at two different types of wisdom there in your bullet points. We have the heart of wisdom. We looked at the hellish wisdom. Wisdom that was earthly, sensual, devilish. And then we looked at the heavenly wisdom that was pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. So the Holy Spirit, through James, continues dealing with the subject of division, disputes, and discord amongst Christians. Now, that could never happen amongst God's people. No! You're kidding, right? Well, I'll tell you this. James dealt pretty heavy with it. And remember now, folks, our chapters and verses were added later for continuity and ease of finding. Really, the thought just continues from the end of chapter 3 into chapter 4. And so we have three main points tonight. Number one, we have the public squabbles. The public squabbles. Where do we see that there? We see three parts to the first part of verse 1 there. Where do they come from, number 1? Where do they come from? James starts out with this question. From whence come? So he's asking again a rhetorical question, as he so often does. Where do these public squabbles come from? Where is it that at a church where God's people dwell, and for the most part, listen, there's the apostate can always sneak in, the unbeliever can always sneak in, but for the most part, here are God's people, and there's some public squabbling going on one with another. Where does that come from? Well, we see there. The second question there, what are they? What are these public squabbles? From whence come? What are they? They're wars and fightings. Now, it's not talking about Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia here. Okay? It's not talking about North Korea and South Korea. It's not talking about the United States and Japan. It's talking about where do they come from? What are they? Whom do they affect? It says, among you. Who's he talking to? Christians. He's talking to Christians. And he says here, from whence come wars and fightings among you? What are these public squabbles? Well, great quote here from an excellent Bible expositor named Guy King. Evidently, there was a great deal of bickering going on. And I am afraid that it has not ceased after all these 1900 years, plus another 100, there was some public squabbles going on amongst God's people. Now remember the title of our message, the Christians and Contentions, Contentiousness. So we have a note under there. These are a natural offspring of the wisdom of James 3, 14 through 16. Write that down, blank line there. 3, 14 through 16. And just go back in your Bible, maybe a page, maybe not. Look at verse number 14 of James chapter 3. This was that hellish wisdom. This was that not wise, but otherwise. It says there in James 3, 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. James saying, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. You got bitterness and strife and envy, and you think you're walking with a holy God, don't kid yourself. Because then he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. These public squabbles are a natural byproduct of hellish wisdom. Natural. So secondly, we look, number one, at the public squabbles. Where do they come from and what are they and whom do they affect? And these are a natural offspring of the wisdom of James 3, 14 through 16. Number two, the poison spring. Where do they come from? What's the poison spring? What's the reason for all these wars and fightings and bickerings and discord and disputes among believers? Well, what is the cause of all this contention and dissension amongst God's people then and now? What's the cause, ladies and gentlemen? The poison spring of lust. Blank line there. Lust. And I have a cross-reference. I want you to go to it here. Cross-reference, blank line there. Write down James 1, 14 and 15. James 1, 14 and 15. Go back just a couple pages there. Here you see the process. Verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own," what? "Lust, and enticed." Now, it says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Can I just add something here, not in your outline or anything like that? When we think of lust, we always tend towards the sins of the flesh. Can I tell you that that is really not what this passage is dealing with? It's not dealing with the quote-unquote sins of the flesh. It's dealing with some sins of the heart that manifest themselves in public squabbles. And God is saying here, it all starts at that poison spring of lust. Lust. And I have here a note after the cross-reference. The poison spring of lust, James 1, 14 through 15, which is the attached Siamese twin of selfishness. And there shouldn't be a question mark. It should be an exclamation point if you want to fix that. Lust and selfishness are conjoined Siamese twins. They go together. Most lust feeds self, and all God's people said. Absolutely right. So we have the public squabble in verse 1. We have the poison spring, even of your lusts, in verse 1. Thirdly, we have the private struggle. The private struggle. What is it? What struggles take place on the inside that manifest themselves on the outside? Now, I want you to go, I have a cross-reference. It's not listed there for you. But I want you to go back just a few pages to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Back past all the T's, Titus and Timothy and Thessalonians, amen. Go back, keep going to Galatians, amen. You go past, Galatians is the start of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Gas, Electric, and Phone Company. That's how you can remember that, how to find those, amen. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 17. And it gives us a little picture here, the old nature and the new nature. Never forget, Christians, you are spiritually speaking bipolar. Now, don't tell your doctor that, amen. But what I mean is you have an old nature that wants to do the wrong things, that wants to think the wrong way about other people, and all God's people said. And you've got a new nature that wants to do right and wants to think right and wants to please God. And verse 17 says, "For the flesh," that's the old nature, "lusteth against the Spirit." That's the Holy Spirit who's in charge of the new nature. Amen. "The Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." There's a battle going on, ladies and gentlemen. And for most of us, it takes place in private. But I promise you, if you don't deal with sin privately, it will manifest itself publicly. By the way, God gave us a mechanism, did He not, to deal with private sin? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says cleansing is always available, but you've got to ask. And so what are these private struggles, that war in our members. Well, I'll tell you, it's the flesh against the spirit. And I've got five sins of the heart that will lead to other sins. So go over to Proverbs chapter 13. What's the first thing that we can see here, though? The private struggle going on. I'll have to fly through these. We've got five of them, but I really think it would do us well to look up these verses. Proverbs chapter 13, boy, if you mark your Bible, you ought to mark this verse. I have seen this. This is an amen. This is a tried and proven verse. Absolutely, show me this, and I will show you truth, truth, truth. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Show me a husband and wife that are feuding, fussing, and I will show you pride and one or both of the participants. So, what's the first private struggle? Pride versus humility. What does God want us to be? Humble. Humble. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resisteth the proud. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. The first one, Brother Randall, is a proud look. So what happens on the inside? Pride and humility. You know what they're doing? They're fighting. They're fighting. And you know what? Pride wants its way. Humility lets others have their way. Amen. Oh, I don't like that, Pat. Doesn't matter. Being humble before God, not being prideful, not thinking more of ourselves than we really are. Come on, church. Amen. Pride versus humility. It's a private struggle. It wars within our members. And by the way, the old illustration is good. You put two dogs in a room, they're going to fight one another. Which one is going to win? Well, I'll tell you, the one you feed. The one you feed is going to win between those two dogs. You feed the flesh, you feed pride, you feed it with gossip and all these other things, and pride is going to overrule humility. But boy, you feed the Spirit, you feast and feed on the Word of God, you pray before God, and humility can reign. It's a struggle. It's a war. Secondly, number two, you got your place there in Proverbs. Hold it, because we're coming back there. Go to, back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And then we're going to also look at 1 Corinthians. Great verse, a great chapter. So many great chapters in the Word of God. Amen, church? Boy, I'll tell you, just a blessing. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 26, please. The last verse of the chapter. It says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. All right? So what's number two? What's a struggle that goes on? Envy versus rejoicing for another. Envy versus rejoicing for one another. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the cross reference here, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 26, just two books over there from Galatians. See, this is the opposite. You have envy that's always, well, how come I didn't get this? Or how come I didn't get picked for this? Or how come they always get this? Or da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you have this right here in 1 Corinthians 12, which is all about the church being a body. And you know what a body does? A body helps the other members of the body. You get something close to your eye, your hand rushes up. You get a pain in your elbow, your hand comes over and rubs it. The body, it works that way. And here, the 1 Corinthians 12 goes on, it tells us that we're a body. And in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Have we seen that in our church? When somebody has hurt, we all hurt. That's because we're a body. We're a family. And all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. But there's a war going on. And envy says, well, that I never get this. And that's not fair. And this, there's a struggle. There's a war. There's a war. And that private struggle can become a public squabble. Amen? That's how it happens. Number three, go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. Boy, you could preach a a series of sermons on this. Hatred versus love. It's a struggle. That you say, oh, people don't hate. Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. Now, that's not much. Just a little herbs. Than a stalled ox and hatred. You know, the stalled ox is the fat one. It just sits there in the stall and eats. That's the kind you want to eat. But God says here, you'd be better off with just a few little herbs and love than where that big porterhouse is and hatred. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He that hateth his brother, and he that loveth not his brother but hateth him, the Bible says he's a liar. But what happens on the inside? We get that envy. We get that pride. And the next thing you know, we start hating. Didn't Jesus tell us that hatred is the path to murder? You wanna never get off at the exit of murder? Get off the highway of hatred. Didn't he say that? He told us that if you hate your brother, you committed murder already in your heart. So hatred versus love is a private struggle. Here's the next one. Back over to Ephesians in the New Testament. We're almost done here. Just two more points. Ephesians chapter 4, very familiar verses. Boy, I've got this chapter all scarred up, amen, in my Bible. You probably do too if you mark your Bible. Verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What's a private struggle? Bitterness versus forgiveness. Bitterness versus forgiveness. Some of you, and listen, you don't have to say amen too loud. You've had that private struggle. I've had that private struggle. It's easy to get bitter. It's hard to forgive, and all God's people said. But it's still right. I'm glad God forgives every time we ask. Every time we come to Him. You want a good cross reference there? Write down Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Last one. In our text, back in James chapter 3. The private struggle. What are some of the wars within it? By the way, there's more. We could do a whole sermon on 25 wars within our members. We have pride versus humility. We have envy versus rejoicing for another. We have hatred versus love. We have bitterness versus forgiveness. And then in James 3, 14 through 17, it says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and hypocrisy. What's the last one? Strife versus peace. Strife versus peace. I don't know about you. I like it a lot better amongst God's people when there's peace. Not perfection. Not even minus our personalities. You know, God called you and your personality to be part of this assembly. Me too. Somebody please say amen. Listen, we all have personality conflicts and quirks and all those kind of things. But I'll tell you what, when we strive to feed the Spirit and we strive to be humble and to rejoice for... Listen, when something good happens in your life, I hope the first thought for me is praise the Lord. Not, Brother Horst, well, that never happens to me. Listen, there's a big deal there, amen? There's so much of this that could be solved by adjusting our stinking thinking. Because that's what it is. Stinking thinking. Think on these things, Philippians 4, 8 said. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Things that are virtuous. Amen. Having humility. Rejoicing for one another. Loving one another. Forgiving one another. And just being at peace one with another. Boy, it's so important. Three things: the public squabbles, the poison spring, and the private struggle. They are the reasons for the contentions in Christians. Father, thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, help us as a body. Lord, I don't believe there's any contentions amongst us, far as I know, Father. But Lord, help us to be on guard. And Lord, help us to just have our relationship with you. For if our vertical relationship is right, makes it so much easier in our horizontal relationships, in our relationships with people. Lord, I pray that you'd help those that struggle at work. They have a difficult co-worker. I pray that you'd help them to shine as lights. And Lord, to be the salt that affects all around them. Bless now in our invitation time, Lord. Thank you again for the privilege to come around the Word of God. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.